Welcome, everybody, to a New Year's Day edition of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, the Frosty One himself, Mug, is on assignment this week. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm okay, considering I'm putting up with allergies.
Yeah, you were discussing that off air, man. The allergies suck. They just really fucking suck. What about you, Brake? How was your
friends,
week,
colleagues, listeners? Let it be known that an epic battle ensued on the gridiron last Monday night. Two gladiator teams entered an arena known as Mile High Stadium. Sorry, I'm still trying to get my voice back.
What is this, Rome?
The two Titans battled back and forth, but in the end, the Denver Broncos outlasted and slayed the mighty Cincinnati Bengals. The better team won and is now poised to not only make it to, but also win the Super Bowl. Congratulations to my hero and friend, Frank Branches, for his win. I'm sorry. That was hard. Yeah, here we go. Congratulations to my hero and friend, Frank Branches, for his wisdom in picking the winner. I hope one day to be great of a man as Frank. In conclusion. Okay, let's start. Let's do that again.
Yes.
I hope one day to be as great of a man as Frank. In conclusion, I would like to say one last thing. Happy New Year and go Broncos.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Now that was
the hero thing got me by surprise.
Obviously that was not scripted in any shape.
You started writing that before the game even was finished. Like you're like, I got this bitch here.
Oh man. No, actually I you know, somebody, I'm not going to say who, wrote that right before the show. So I appreciate that Breakman, I did not know that I was your hero, and that
did you ever know that Frank's my hero?
Oh, I love it, man. Yes, the Broncos defeated the mighty Cincinnati. Yeah,
that was actually a good game.
It was a great game, man. The first half I was really sweating, Break. I'm not gonna lie. I thought the Bengals were just gonna run roughshod, man.
No, I was sweating all over. No, like, the Bengals have a coaching problem, and as in they could never adjust in the second half of a game.
Yeah, but dude, Marvin
like, but
Lewis,
the, but
man.
What has overcome that has been the talent of the players, you know. But no quarterback, so whatever. But no anyway, but I'm not making excuses. You won.
We did.
I'm just saying, like, because your quarterback wasn't there either, so there's I can't make that excuse. You know?
Right. See, that's – I was waiting
exactly,
for that.
I'm just trying to say I'm not trying to make excuses. Congratulations.
Right. Well, it was a good victory, man, for sure. It was
it was a good game. It was
a great game.
I think anybody who was watching was probably entertained.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster just joined in, and he totally missed your – so you might have to do it again for Dungeon Buster later on, man. Just saying, you know. Welcome on
Did
in,
Dungeon
everybody.
Buster ever know that Frank's my hero?
I love it, man. It was an awesome game for sure, man. Welcome on into chat, Dungeon Buster Freak 5 and SMTYHVH.
Frank, I just want you to know something.
What's that, man?
You're the wind beneath my wings.
Oh, man. I bet you can't wait till the day that I have to do something like that for one of you guys, man. It hasn't happened. Like, every time I make a bet, I usually win. Like,
Didn't you lose to Stealth?
No. Stealth lost to me, and he had to make a similar statement. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't remember who it went.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in lieu of that, I've got a lot riding on this week's Bronco game. Like, I have a Vegas bet. I've already won one. The Raiders won more than 5.5 games, so I'm happy there. That's a few bucks in my pocket. And
yeah, speaking of the Raiders, all I heard at the beginning of the season when the Bengals beat the Raiders very handily was the Raiders are a terrible team. They're one of the worst. They're a horrible team. Bengals shouldn't be proud of that. That's a horrible game. They're a horrible team.
They're not a horrible team. They're,
no. In fact, the Raiders are, in fact, a good team. So fuck all those people.
They're fairly good. They did beat the Broncos here, so I can't talk shit about the Raiders this year. But, you know, whatever.
I know. Usually we can talk shit about the Raiders. It's true.
It's been like 5 years since the Raiders beat the Broncos in Denver, but whatever, you know. So, yeah, one more win, I win more money, and if the Broncos get lucky and win the Super Bowl, I win a shit ton of money. I think I got, like...
I will say it's really fucked up that there's a chance they might not make the playoffs.
Who, the Broncos?
Yeah.
There's no chance. They're in the playoffs, man, for sure. Now it's just...
Oh, I mean, if they lose the next game and the Chiefs win... They like, the Chiefs get in and the Broncos get out, but some other team that's worse will get in. It's absolutely ridiculous.
No, the Broncos still, by virtue of their victory over the Bengals, they're in, dude. They're, no matter what, they're in the playoffs.
Okay, so. Well, that's good then.
Yeah,
that's
but they're going to win the division.
Like, I'm irritated with the whole division rules, how some shitty, because there is definitely going to be NFC team that's going to be shitty that's going to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, NFC or AFC South too, man. Texans aren't exactly gangbusters, you know. It's like
they've got a great defense.
Yeah, their defense is okay, man. Like,
but but it's not as good as the Broncos or Bengals. The Bengals would have beat them had they been had a better game. That was a really off game when they played Houston. Like, seriously, a lot of drop passes and stuff like that that was just like them.
That's – you know, it's interesting that you say that. The parallels are there for the two teams' break. The Broncos have dropped a lot of passes this year, a lot. Mm. Passes that they normally get, but whatever. You know, it's all good. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. Might all be a moot point. New England might just demolish everybody in the story. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, although, but they're not – them and Carolina aren't unbeatable.
No, they're not. Wait, I know mean, this the Broncos, for a fact. The Broncos beat the Patriots, so I'm not worried about them. But Arizona turned it up, man.
Yeah, fuck Arizona. Just because you have Carson Palmer as your quarterback, he's a douchebag.
He's a douchebag, but he's a fucking awesome douchebag player.
Like, I know he's talented, but I think he's gonna get better of himself, and he's gonna Brett Favre it as he usually does.
I hope so, man.
He's a gunslinger. He likes if the chips are down, he just starts throwing it, just starts unloading it, and then he makes bad decisions.
Yeah, well, this year he hasn't made very many.
As a Bengals fan, I get to see him for a long time. I'm not like. Not speaking in being bitchy or mean. I'm speaking in the truth. Like, that's how he's always played.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's changed since he's left here, but that's how he always played for us. When the chips are down, he starts thinking he's Brett Favre and just starts throwing everywhere.
Freak Five's asking where Mug is. He's playing his harmonica at Sex Orgy Number 6.
Apparently he thinks he's too good for us, and Stealth thinks he's too good for us, and everybody just thinks they're too good for us.
Freak also got the opportunity to watch Force Awakens. Congratulations. Dungeon Buster says Happy New Year's. And he's fallen asleep during the sports ball talk.
If we bring up Force Awakens again later, there's something else I wanted to mention. It actually wouldn't be a spoiler even because George Lucas himself mentioned it in an interview.
Wow.
But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
I think that might be sour grapes on George Lucas' part because he's
– No, there's something that he did say that I've been thinking too. Mm-hmm. It's something that actually does bother me a little bit about the movie.
Well, let's bring it up later on, man. But we have a ton of news stories, so let's get into the news, Eric. We promise not to bother you too much with sports talk. It's a rare occurrence. And
I think Eric already left.
Yeah, Eric's like, fuck this shit. No, it's a rare occurrence when our two teams meet, so we obviously had fun and, you know, whatever. All right, let's get started with the news. Eric, are you here still?
Jeez, I didn't think that I'd ever end.
Well, go for it, buddy.
From Gamatsu, we've got ESRB rates Mega Dimension Neptunia V2 for PC. The Entertainment Software Ratings Board has rated Mega Dimension Neptunia V2, and it's written like 7, but it's V2.
Hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe it's an in joke. Maybe they're trying to make fun of Final Fantasy 7 or something.
Maybe.
It means this: when Hyperdimension Noir was rated for PC, Idea Factory International told us it was just a precaution in case the company ever did decide to port the game. And, well, they are going to be porting Hyperdevotion Noir, probably.
So that's cool. More exposure, the better. So, yeah. There you go. Next story break.
Yay. Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Tales of Berseria. Coming west for PS4 and PC. Bandai Namco is bringing Tales of Berseria to North and South America and Europe for PlayStation 4 and PC. Why is that the... never mind. The game will feature English, French, Italian, Spanish, and Russian subtitles. Good lord, you're bringing it to...
You need no Punjabi.
No Punjabi. I'm boycotting this fucking game, man.
I mean, really, you need English, French, and Spanish here, honestly. In Japan, I think
you're just doing this way so it's easier for them to just ship it to another country.
I'm just kidding, because really, if you want to do American, you'd need a lot more than just those languages. In Japan, Tales of Berseria is due out in 2016 for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. And you want to run down with the game, or you want to just...
No, that's good. SMT says, Eric, it's the seventh game overall, referring to the Neptunia.
Well, if you count the remakes, I guess it would be, but not counting any of the side games.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'd like to say about this is this game is supposedly taking place before Zestiria in the same world.
Hmm. That's kind of cool. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu, guys. This one is God Eater Resurrection and God Eater 2. Rage Burst coming
out. Yeah, I did want to say something else. All
right, go
ahead. It's weird that the PS3 version's apparently not coming.
I don't think it's weird. People are pushing the PS4 way more than the PS3 now.
I know, but Namco's usually done multi-platform releases on all of its platforms for every game it's done up until now.
Well, maybe they crunched the numbers.
Why would they suddenly change that?
Well, maybe they crunched the numbers and decided it wasn't going to make them enough money. I mean, there's weird decisions.
I don't know. Maybe Zestiria just really didn't sell all that much on the PS3.
It's a possibility. All right, let's move on.
How old is the PS3?
That's a good question, man.
Well, we have no confirmation on Persona 5. I'm pretty sure Alice is going to port that version over too.
What?
Because they've had like a 10-year life cycle with the PS1 and the PS2.
Yeah.
So I gotta imagine the 3 is coming up pretty close, because that's like 7 years or something.
Yeah,
that's when the PS3 came out.
In 06?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah.
SMT YHVH, which I'm guessing is MXT, Bamco did the same thing with Eyes of Heaven. Squinix also did it with Dragon Quest Heroes. I called it Squinix, but I don't know what Eyes of Heaven is.
I don't know either. What were you saying?
I like Bamco, though. So.
Yeah. Gripper joined chat. Happy New Year to Gripper.
Actually, SMT YHAV is not MXT.
Oh.
He's on Twitter. You can follow him.
Gripper says,
"My bad. I'm sorry for the insult. My dearest apologies."
Yeah, don't ever associate anyone with MXT. That's like the biggest insult.
Gripper says, "Happy New Year to us all." Well, I appreciate that, Gripper. Everybody gives us everybody else a Happy New Year. Hopefully you drove home safe and are nice and comfortable.
Or just
and
passed out where you stood.
That's right.
I think that's what I did.
SMT says, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Eyes of Heaven. There you go. All right, next story from Gamatsu.
I've kind of got like...
I think the abbreviation is supposed to be from Yahweh from Shin Megami Tensei.
Yeah. I've kind of got like the print of a toilet seat on my face. I'm thinking maybe I fell asleep on the toilet.
That bad for you, man. Do you remember where you were or what you were doing? Or
Am I supposed to remember?
Probably not.
Okay, good.
That's a good thing. All right, next story from Gamatsu, guys. God Eater Resurrection and God Eater 2.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
What does God taste like?
I don't know. Let's find out. Rage Burst coming west for PS4, PS Vita, and PC in summer 2016. I think we talked about this, but there was no date.
So not PS3, but this game didn't have a version of that anyway, so...
Yeah. All right, so summer of 2016, and there's a full rundown... that's exciting news, actually. I'm excited for that, even though God Eater wasn't great. It was just okay from what I...
I heard that the newer version's better because the PSP version suffered from lack of controls because the extra L and R buttons that didn't exist.
Yeah.
But yeah. I wonder how they'd make that work on the Vita version then.
You put a little bit of kraut on gods when you eat them.
Then again, on the PSP game, it didn't have a second analog stick, so that's probably why.
Grey Poupon breaking.
So you think they kind of just taste average? Well, it's a god. You think it would be like, oh my god, this is the best meal ever?
No,
oh my god, you're delicious.
You have to add.
I suppose the gods you're killing are like monsters.
Yeah, you have to add like condiments on them.
Tastes like steak. Yeah.
See, that's how you can tell if a steak's good or not. If you need steak sauce, it's not a good steak.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I like steak sauce, but not for the same reasons.
Yeah, I imagine because the PSP is small and you have to press a bunch of buttons because he's saying he suffered from claw grip syndrome. That's how I felt about Super Beat Zonic. As a rhythm game, I think it's terrible because it has to use too many buttons at once. Mm. And a short period of time. I mean, it's not like they'll stick with a few buttons for a few notes and switch to another set. It's like, no, you want to do this and this and this and that.
I can't stand games.
It's insane.
I can't.
Especially because it wants you to use the analog sticks, which are so far apart from the face buttons and the D-pad.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of claw grip games at all. They suck. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Lots of other people love the game. I don't know why. Maybe because they're ambidextrous like that or something.
I don't know.
And they don't suffer arthritis or something because they don't get what was that syndrome called from playing games too much?
Carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel. Yeah.
Monster Hunter.
To carpal tunnel.
He said Monster Hunter on the PSP also suffered from the same thing. Yeah. All right, Eric, let's go on to the next story, please.
Next story is from Destructoid, and actually it says it's coming soon, but it's actually out now because I think it launched for Christmas on the European Virtual Console, but it's still not on the US Virtual Console, but it's probably a possibility that'll happen in the future.
All right.
Oh, it was a Christmas Eve release. That's right.
All right. What are you talking about, Eric?
Super Mario RPG came to the Virtual Console.
Oh, sweet. So you can pick that up. It's awesome. It's a great game. So, Gripper, if you never played that game, you got to play that game, dude. It's awesome. It's a great game. So it's out now in Europe. Do we have it here in the United States?
I thought Nintendo was done with Super Nintendo on the Virtual Console for the Wii U. But if they're doing this, maybe that's just a Nintendo America thing, but could they just throw a bone and give us this?
I would like them to bring this here. I mean, that's
and also, where the fuck is the last story on the Wii U Virtual Console store? Yeah. Europe has it. I don't know why we don't. XE published Pandora's Tower. That's on there.
Probably because Europe is better than the United States, Eric. That's why. That's what I'm guessing. SMT says both God Eater games will only have the English audio. So that's right.
America.
That means either Bandai Namco couldn't afford it, which I highly doubt, or the studio in question wants too much money, so they're like, fuck you, we're not paying that. Or, which means that they sell money, they just don't want to spend that much. But, or they're just so tightly gripped on their licensing that they don't even want to give it away.
Yeah, no Punjabi, and I'm not – that's a no-buy for me. They got to have Punjabi in there, man. All right, next story, Breakman.
Are we on Gamatsu? Sorry.
No, you're
okay. Okay, coming to us live from Gamatsu.
No.
ESRB.
No.
The ESRB rates Wild Arms 3, Siren, Primal, Okage, and Ape Escape 3 for PS4.
Yeah.
The Entertainment Software Rating Board has rated PS2 titles, which I just mentioned, for PlayStation 4. Why is that your first fucking sentence?
Yeah.
The games likely make up the next batch of PS2. I mean, you think PS2 emulated titles to come to PlayStation 4? You goddamn jackass. What is this?
You skipped an article.
Are we reading a fucking Silicon Era article? I'm confused here.
Yeah,
this
know,
says Gamatsu,
man.
But
this is Gamatsu. Yeah.
I know, but
this was written like a Silicon Era story.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like a Silicon Era fuck up, but yeah, okay.
That's what happens when it's just a listing.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, there you go. More PS4 or PS2 games on the PS4. That's cool, I guess. I thought they would have came out with PS2 games on the PS3, but that
yeah, they good. Kind of abandoned that as soon as they found out they could put it on the PS4.
Yeah, like, they should have done that.
Why bother? No one's buying PS3 again at this point, right? Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the previous story that you missed, Breakman. This comes to us from Eurogamer.net. Where the fuck is it? Oh, here we go. Come on. Bandai Namco reveals new God Eater Tales and JoJo games heading west. I think this is what...
Yeah, this is pretty much just an amalgamation of what we've been talking about, with the exception of JoJo.
Yeah, Tales of Symphonia on Steam, 2nd of February... what else? I'm trying to look for God Eater 2, which we talked about. What else?
Tales of Symphonia release date.
I said that. Tales of Berseria on the PS4. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Eyes of Heaven, slated for PS4, which SMT mentioned in chat.
It also says that if you had bought Zestira, you can get the Symphonia for free.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to read the next story as well, guys. This comes to us from Silicon Era. Sinless combines point-and-click cyberpunk with visual novel.
Sinless. God, I was hoping you were going to say cyber porn.
Oh, man, that would have been sweet. Cyber porn.
Yeah. Hey, it could be cyberpunk and cyber porn.
Yeah, how about both? Let's get a little both.
Cyberpunk porn. All right, let's do it.
Right on. All right, Sinless has ambitions of being more than a visual novel. And its creators accomplish that by adding a point-and-click style adventure to the mix. It also has ambitions of being more than a single game, being part of a planned trilogy. The first episode, titled Reveal, being available on Steam now with, quote, Revolution and, quote, Revelations, coming at a later date. As to its setting and themes, Sinless is set in a utopian future society that sees people leading perfect lives thanks to their cybernetic implants. These electronics are manufactured by huge corporations, and they have, in turn, usurped governments and wiped out crime. Of course, this won't last, and Sinless charts a rather typical cyberpunk tale in which the perfect future goes completely wrong, pulling the curtain back to reveal the rotten core of society. So, it sounds like a cliched story, but I'd be interested in playing this for sure.
I don't see too many visual novel point and click cyberpunk based games.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We need more of this. So, I'm okay with that.
The only other one I know about right now is Read Only Memories.
Yeah, Freak 5 says he needs to go ahead and do a party, but he's going to give us a would you rather before he goes. Okay, that'd be awesome, man. Right on.
God damn it.
Yeah, I know. Don't you have to go sooner, Freak 5? No, just kidding. All right, guys, let's move on to the next story. Eric, next story, please.
Next story. Martial arts MMORPG Age of Wushu is heading to mobile. So Snail Games has released a trailer to go along with its soft launch of martial arts MMORPG Age of Wushu Dynasty in Canada for iOS and Android. And there's a trailer in the links that I'll put for the summary later, but you can't watch on the show because we don't have video capabilities.
Not yet. No, we do not.
But... And says... The soft launch version of the game differs from
until we get a hot female co-host. I don't think we should have one either. Just saying.
Yeah,
that's sexist, dude. You're explaining.
I know it's sexist as fuck, but I'm just saying. It's exploitive. It's sexist. It's derogatory towards women in every way.
And that's Breakman.
Yep. Gamergate. RP Grinders Gamergate. There you go.
Later, we do not support them.
Real quickly, Freak 5 says, would you rather eat nothing but roadkill for the rest of your life or have everyone else sound like Gilbert Gottfried?
Freak 5.
I can deal with sounding like Gilbert Gottfried.
I kind of like Gilbert Gottfried, even though his voice is annoying. He's pretty funny at times.
I had more to talk about here.
All right, go ahead, Eric.
So the soft launch of the game differs from previous closed beta versions, with four martial arts to choose from, each with their own strengths, like any good RPG would. I mean, I hope that they'd all be different. But there are also refinements to the scenery based on real historic locations, localization improvements, and lots of bug fixes to the core game systems.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting, man. It's sort of...
And it says it's set during the Ming Dynasty.
What was the game that came out on the Xbox that had a lot of hype behind it? It was the kind of a martial arts.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It was made by the Knights of the Old Republic people.
Yeah. Jade Empire.
That's Jade Empire. Yes.
Yeah, I kind of like. Where's
the sequel to that game?
There's a sequel to Jade Empire, really?
No, where is the sequel?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that game did too well.
It did not, man. And it was a shame.
It didn't help the fact that they had stereotypical Chinese English accents.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a decent game.
Oh, stereotypes.
Sure. SMT said Drake of the 99 Dragons. That game was horrible, man. No.
Also, the game had technical issues.
Yeah, it did. No, we were thinking of Jade Empire.
No, that game was just an abomination. I'm not talking about Jade Empire.
No. No. Drake of the 99 Dragons.
Well, I'm glad I have no recollection of this game.
Yeah. No, Jade Empire was awesome. All right, let's move on.
Go watch the X-Play review of Drake of the 99 Dragons find it online.
So bad. Yeah, it's horrible. All right. It's like one of the worst games of all time, man. All right. Break, next story, please.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era, former Dragon Quest director announces Fortune Teller's Academy for smartphone.
Yeah, there you go.
Squinix director Jin Fujisawa.
Got it. Yeah.
Previously mentioned that he's going to announce a new game soon, and it was announced as Fortune Teller's Academy for smartphones. Fujisawa describes it as a bit of a different game that revolves around predicting the future of the real world. Good luck with that, Jesus. Yeah. The above trailer gives us an idea on how it plays.
I don't think it means this real world. I think it just means the one in the game.
Okay, well, that's probably predictable, but not the fucking real world. The real world is unpredictable as shit. Along with a look at some of its characters designed by Hagu Koshijima. Next time I'm just going to kind of trail off so it sounds like I said it. Right. Who worked on the Bibilia Kushoto no Chicken Tech. January 2016 on smartphones. What? I said it. You can't.
You did. You
Klaatu
said it.
Ratu.
Yeah, right. Exactly, man.
Bibilia Kushoto no Chicken Techo. Yeah.
Dungeon Buster says Jade Empire is also free on Origin right now if you have the client. SMT says he remembers one guy in talking about Drake of the 99 Dragons. I remember one guy streamed it and broke the disc. Yeah. Pretty horrible, man. Piece of shit game if you ask me. All right, let's move on. Interesting concept, but Fortune Teller's Academy. I don't know. I got to see more before I make a decision on that game.
Japan only for now, at least.
Of course. It's always Japan only. But
This is Square. What do you expect?
Yeah, Square might bring it over here. We'll see. All right, next story come to us.
I don't know. They don't even seem to – they look at the sales of Bravely Default in the West, and they're like, I know Bravely Second didn't sell as much, but I know that they know that it was more successful than they anticipated. But yet they still decided not to bring the sequel over themselves.
You know, sometimes it
I'm going to hold my breath on this one.
Yeah,
That might have more to do with Square just not being interested in publishing many of their software titles outside of their own territories. Mm. Because they looked at what Nintendo did, and, well, you could probably do the same thing again, so why not leave it to you?
Yeah. The funny thing is like the market here for the RPGs just isn't what it is in Japan. I mean, that's a sad fact, man. I wish it was not that way, but whatever. SMT says someone will find a way to get it. Of course they will. All right, let's move on to the next story from Silicon Era, guys. Joke-filled 2D RPG Unepic is coming to the Xbox One in January of 2016. It follows Pothead and gamer Daniel. God, this almost sounds like my life. gamer Daniel as he runs into a medieval castle during a role-playing game, but mistakes it for an illusion caused by the drugs his friends probably slipped in his drink.
His friends gave him roofie? Oh, no.
Exactly.
God damn, what the fuck?
They all bummed it.
I wonder if they took advantage
of it. Gay rapist friends.
Oh, man, gross. Inside the castle, Daniel finds out from an oracle that he has a mission to kill Harnakon, the master of the castle, and free pure spirits. Daniel also ends up getting possessed by a shadow that talks to him inside his head. However, the shadow wants to escape from this new host, and the only way to do that is for Daniel to die. Hence, the shadow will often lie to trick Daniel into killing himself. Beyond all this, Unepic plays like a fairly typical 2D RPG, but not everything is quite what it seems. There are over 200 rooms to explore, 70 spells to learn, and 100 different weapons. You can craft potions, reach 3 different endings, and also acquire pets, so like familiars, if you've played Dungeons & Dragons before. It's already available on the PC and Wii U. And you can find more on the website. So
I heard it wasn't especially good, but it's not terrible. Yeah, it's more like a game you'd probably want to buy on a sale or something.
Yeah. SMT says Bravely Second situation reminds him of Mega Man 6.
Yeah, Nintendo published that one.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to next story.
Breakout. Although I think Mega Man 6 on the Virtual Console is published by Capcom. Mm. And I think they might have removed the Nintendo logo somewhere.
All right, Breakman, next story, please.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Sword Art Online Hollow Realization coming west in 2016. Bandai Namco, Bamco, has confirmed Sword Art Online Hollow Realization will come to PlayStation 4 and PS Vita in America and Europe in 2016. The Europe press release says fall 2016, but the U.S. press release just says 2016. So don't expect this anytime soon. The game will feature Japanese voiceovers from English, French, German, Italian, and Spanish.
Wow. No fucking Punjabi. This is ridiculous. This is an outrage. I'm walking off this show.
Where's the Punjabi representation here?
Okay.
Sword Art Online Hollow Realization takes place in one of the stages set within the original Sword Art Online, and will give fans the chance to experience the Sword Art Online world from the very beginning. Taking on the role of Kirito, players enter a new VRMMORPG world called Sword Art Origin, which was created on the game's original server, giving players flashbacks of memories from the past events. From past events. Players will enter the early period within the Sword Art Origin world and must find a way to win the game one more time. Why does this Kirito keep getting stuck in this shit? Sword Art Online Hollow Realization features a plethora of beloved characters from Sword Art Online anime series, including Kirito, Leafa, and Asuna. How do you spell it? How do you pronounce that?
Asuna.
Thank you. Yeah. Sword Art Online Hollow Realization will also feature the debut of an exclusive new virtual character only to be found in the game. Joining players on their new game adventure. Along the amazing storyline and new characters, players will enjoy high quality graphics, blah, blah, blah.
I'm sure the storyline will be amazing if it's Sword Art Online. Yeah. That's sarcasm.
Features Back to Its Origins, a brand new story created under the watchful eye of the original author of the Sword Art Online novels, Reiki Kawahara.
Wait, it might actually be good then. Because the TV show sure as shit wasn't made by him.
A Sword Art Online world to immerse yourself in, dense, highly detailed, and dynamic environment will welcome you into a new rich adventure. The setting and your journey through the world will continue to evolve as you explore this new virtual universe. Intense and strategic gameplay, comprehensive RPG gameplay, perfectly matched with strong action elements. Approach monsters and characters head-on as you charge through the new adventure and compelling story. Experience the intense battles of Sword Art Online with explosive, rewarding attacks.
There you go.
The end.
Explosive, man.
Yeah, explosive.
Like dialing.
Hey, that explosive.
I have a request, Breakman. Can you?
I hope this game is better than Lost Song, because I read in places that Lost Song was more action-y, but it wasn't as good.
Yeah, Breakman, I have a request. Can you please say the name of this game in a Japanese person's voice trying to speak English, please?
So like a stereotypical
Yes.
You want them to be racist amusement.
That's right. I do.
Okay, well, I can do that. Sword Art Online Hollow Realization
No. The L's have to be R's.
I turned into another language at the end.
He turned to Russian.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to get my voice
back.
Pretty
good, dude. That was actually pretty good.
Sword Art Online.
Haro.
Damn it.
Haro.
Haro. Sword Art Online. Haro. Realization. Realization coming west in 2016.
I love it. Yes, cool.
Okay, I'll be back.
All right, next story, guys. Come to us live from Gamatsu.
Never again with that.
Touhou Project Action RPG Adventure.
Toho.
Toho, Touhou, whatever the fuck. Toho. What is it? Oh, anyways. All right, Action RPG Adventures of Scarlet Curiosity for the PS4 launches February 10th in Japan. And there's a spiffy new trailer. So it's coming out February 10th for 2,500 yen, which is how much, Eric?
About 30 bucks.
Okay. Game puts players in the roles of the vampire Romilia Scarlet and her follower Sakuya Izayo, who are chasing after a monster wreaking havoc on humans as they explore various locations. It promises to take advantage of PlayStation 4's power, running in 1080p. At 60 frames per second. Yes!
It should be noted that this actually is a port of the PC game.
Well, you know, still 60
And I heard the PC version had issues, so if they're making... So I wonder if those issues were the frame rate.
Maybe, but...
So they fixed it, I guess?
Running in 1080p? 1080p at 60 frames per second.
I hope it gets localized. I saw the trailer, and it reminded me a lot of East... but with more bullet time.
SMT says, Sword Art Online, Haro Fragment. All right, let's move on to the next story, Eric.
Let's see. Nah, we've got a... This is actually something I wanted to make a Sweeto, but I realized I had too many. Mm-hmm. So I just moved it here. But this is from Destructoid. It says, these Dragon Quest wedding invitations are adorable. Says, planning a wedding is one of the toughest things I've ever done, with help, of course, but finding fun ways to get through it is one of the best parts. That's just what one Japanese couple has divined. Crafting a PS2 box invitation themed around Dragon Quest, dubbed Wedding Quest, as art is pretty badass, and I dig the reworking of the Square Enix logo as well.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool for the...
If the name of the console is the Invitation 11... 2G.
Or 29.
Or 11.2G. I don't know.
But it's really cool for the archivers who can't see this. I put it in the chat so the chatters can see this. It's basically a PlayStation 2 old school. Wedding invitation. Sorry for the technical issues there, audio issues. But the wedding invitations are awesome. They're just basically PlayStation 2 cases with, the wedding invitation. So, right on. Kudos. That's awesome. All right, next story.
Kenta and Ayano were the names of the couple.
Yeah. All right, Breakman, next story, please.
Coming to us live from Destructoid, Transistor sells over 1 million copies. In a blog post recapping its year, Supergiant Games gave updated sales figures for Transistor and Bastion. The former has officially passed 1 million copies sold, while the latter has cleared over 3 million copies.
Another one.
That's right. No worries.
If you haven't contributed those numbers or are thinking of double dipping, I know I've contributed to Bastion. I don't think
I've actually skipped two of them.
Yeah, don't worry about it, Eric. Let's just continue.
What? How did I skip two? Anyway, as we look ahead to 2016, the goal of the studio remains the same as when we were just getting started in the living room of a house in San Jose back in 2009. To stick together as a small team and keep making games that spark your imagination, he's quoted as saying.
I thought that we've had Kasav, and I've said that before on the show, but I thought Transistor was doing better than Bastion. So it's surprising to me that Bastion so far has sold 3 million as opposed to 1 million for Transistor.
It's also been out longer.
Yeah. Well, I know it's been out for longer, but damn, that's a big disparity, man. Did they charge more for Transistor by chance, or... Was it the same?
Yes, it was like $20.
Ah, that's probably why. But still, I mean, that's pretty good. Over 1 million.
It was also a more advanced game, so
yeah, they should.
So they need to make the price bigger.
I hope that they keep making games because that company's really good. Supergiant game. We should have Kasavin on again to talk Transistor and the differences and the challenges, et cetera, et cetera. But all right, let's move
on. Let me read this next one here.
Yeah, go for
coming
it.
One of the ones I skipped. Yeah, coming to us live from Silicon Era. Save your friends from becoming bacon in an upcoming Piggy RPG.
Love this. Yeah.
Bacon. Pigsidus is an upcoming RPG that stars, yes, a pig. It's intentionally a little silly with jokes scattered throughout, but it also won't skimp on the challenge it'll present to you. Your motivation in the game is to save your friends before them are turned into bacon. I was about to compliment them on a better sentence with the last one, but then they do this. Bacon. And other consumable pork products. And yes, it says friends before them are turned into bacon and other consumable pork products. You'll have to journey across a number of environments and learn how to survive. The throes in the Alaskan forest mean you'll need warmth, for example. To this end, there will be plenty of loot to find in Pigsidus. You'll be able to make use of items and craft new ones. You can also upgrade your piggy as it learns how to survive. Kitting it out more pig features. What?
I don't even know what that means.
Kitting it out with more pig features.
Maybe
okay.
I guess you can use your nose to like find things.
I guess I don't know.
And even equipment like shades and pockets. Well, you want pockets on your pig. The most direct threat to the pig will be hunters and wolves. And anybody likes bacon. The AI driving these enemies will be progressive, and so you'll have to outthink them. But shouldn't get to the point that the game becomes frustrating. As Pixidus will have a heroic system that simply means its difficulty will adapt to your ability to survive and complete the trials you encounter.
I like that idea. That's actually really cool. It makes it accessible to anybody, which is awesome. Yeah. I like the idea. It's something different. You know, you're a pig in an RPG. I mean, I've never heard of that. So that's really cool. We've heard of furry friends and other shit. But
I know. That makes me think they should make a Muppets RPG where you can be Miss Piggy.
That would be cool.
And
be
Kermit
awesome.
And you know, yep. The rest.
All right, let's move on to the next story. Chaos Child coming to PC. Anime announced. It's coming to the Windows PC. Publisher 5PB announced. Company also announced that an anime is in production. It's currently available on the PS4, Xbox One. What is that?
An ad, sorry.
PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PlayStation 3, and PS Vita in Japan, of course. So, of course
well,
it is.
It might get localized one day, but we still need Chaos Head.
Yeah. How about that? How about we get some older games localized?
I want robotics notes while we're at it.
Yeah. All right, Eric.
Hopefully Race Digital will do something about that.
Yeah. All right, Eric, I think the last story.
Last story is Final Fantasy IX. Is coming to PC and phones.
Yay! This is good news.
It says Final Fantasy IX was one of the best Final Fantasy games, according to this person who wrote it. But it's true, because it's good.
Yes, it is absolutely true.
But it's coming to PC and smartphones at some point in 2016. And they didn't announce a Western release, but I can imagine them passing that up.
No way.
I'm going to call this great news because I've never got to play 9, and if you bring it to the phone, I'll get to play it.
You know, I believe, in my opinion, that Final Fantasy 9 is probably one of the best, most underrated RPGs of our generation.
Anyways, it says here, it's not quite clear how much they're changing for this version, but the trailer shows above. Sharpened, higher-res versions of characters like Zidane, not like the PC versions of 7 and 8, and also... high definition graphics, newly added achievements. Well, of course, it's on Steam. They're coming to be, and there's an achievements with Game Center on smartphones or whatever it is similar for Android, and auto saving, high speed mode, and several game boosting features. High speed mode in particular would help speed up the slowness of the battles because it would probably make the load times non-existent.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster agrees. He says FF9 is so good. SMT says Squeenix better not fuck it up. I doubt they will. I hope they won't.
Well, I hope that the PC version isn't just an emulated phone port that has a locked frame rate.
Yeah. What are you saying, Break?
Dungeon Master Wonders
and allows for mods. Has
save files for Final Fantasy IX. Like, God. I've got so many old memory cards. I'm like, I don't know what I have still.
Apparently, you could play high speed mode in the PS4 version of Final Fantasy VII. Mm. Or, well, maybe you could do that in Steam too, but I'm not sure.
God, Final Fantasy IX. It's been so many years since I played that game. It'd be nice to get back into it one more time and give it a go, man. It's such a good game. I honestly think it's so underrated. So
what do you think? $15.99, $19.99, $19.99,
dude. Come on.
Squinix tax $19.99.
Nah, okay. They're gonna make it $20. I know it.
Of course, $19.99. All right, I would not be surprised.
I mean, that's how much they're charging for Lightning Returns right now.
Ugh, Lightning Returns.
Ugh. See, I think the only other Final Fantasy games that haven't made the trip to PC yet are 10, 10, 2, 12, and 1, 2. Mm.
Dungeon Buster says he misses having animated icons for his save files.
Although, apparently, 10 and 10, 2 has a Steam listing, so it might happen.
Mm. The original PlayStation.
Yeah. Oh, man. 9. So good. It came out on, like, 4 discs, didn't it, if I remember correctly? It was, like, 4 discs. All right. Let's move on. No homing discounts this week. Any Twitter questions, Break?
Yes, and actually they relate to Star Wars. So do you want to do that now and give a spoiler warning or what?
Spoiler alert! If you have not seen Force Awakens, please avert thine ears.
Yeah, and we'll give us like 5 minutes, you think? Yeah,
just give us about 5 minutes. So if you're in chat right now, just go ahead and tune out for about 5-10 minutes and come back and, you know, whatever. Yeah, SMT says, Final Fantasy 13. Exactly. My sentiments, exactly.
Well, right. I like 13, but I played a lot of games last year, and the only bad game I played was Lightning Returns.
Oh, God, Lightning Returns.
That's the only game that I absolutely hated of everything I played last year.
Okay, so
I thought 13-2 was just a big disappointment. 13 was just a big disappointment, but I don't think it's completely awful. I gave it like a 6 or something back then.
Don't insult 13-2 in my presence.
13-2 is like
13-2 is better than 13 for sure. But
I love 13-2.
But the stories of both of those games are terrible because the writer for those games is terrible.
Yeah.
Right. The story of 13-2 is absolutely bullshit in every way. But
yeah,
for sure. I fucking love that game. I don't care.
Yeah. And if you thought the story for 13-2 is bad, apparently Lightning Returns' story is even worse.
Yeah, I that's the only game I hated. I didn't
play it, so I can tell you how awful it is.
Yeah. All right, Break.
Back to Star Wars. Freak5 Chaos says, I will be disappointed if the Force Awakens Blu-ray doesn't have a blooper or deleted scenes with Luke talking to Yoda or Obi-Wan. He also says, Luke saying, I can't train her. She is too old. He wants that in the next movie, I guess.
No. No more references to the past, and all new stuff from here on out.
No, I don't care.
See, that's kind of what Lucas said that I really agree with, because I've been thinking about it before I even read his quotes. From
I think he's just J.J. Abrams being J.J. Abrams and him sucking because he's J.J. Abrams.
I don't think it's that. I think it's they're really trying to capitalize on nostalgia. But my big complaint is. One of the cool things that he did when he did like the prequel trilogies is he brought all new vehicles into the mix, you know? Mm. All this supposedly older technology. Hold on a second.
Yeah. So apparently he had to sneeze or cough. That's weird.
I mean but it looked cool and stuff. This is 30 years later, and they're still piloting X-Wings and TIE Fighters?
Well, that was a good observation, Break. It was one thing that bothered me as well.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even look new or updated in any way.
I saw something.
The X-Wings look old as fuck,
the fact
too.
That it's using better tech to represent them, yeah.
I think...
And I think they deliberately looked old. Like, the X-Wings look... They look like they've been around for a while, you know.
Well, maybe they look like they were battle worn, like you know.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I mean. Whereas the TIE fighters all look shiny and pretty and shit. Yeah,
it's like I don't know. The resistance is so small that they had to scrap for whatever they could fucking find.
Yeah, you know what's funny is like I was thinking about that as well, and
the TIE fighters. No, you think that the First Order would have money? somewhere.
I mean, they seem like they're maybe updated TIE fighters, but not that updated, you know?
Well, it was. I think it's somebody on Twitter that made the observation that about the Millennium Falcon, that Millennium Falcon, it was like equivalent of bringing in a Model T to race somebody, you know, like in modern days. Like you don't have old technology like that, you know. I agree. You gotta up the ante on the tech front for sure.
I don't mind them doing that for the first movie, but if they do that for the next two, I'm gonna be angry.
Well, depends on the
story. If it's just a complete and utter remake of the entire original trilogy, then I'll be sad.
Yeah, this is a good analogy that SMT brings up. He says, using the X-Wings in The Force Awakens is basically having a single computer with MS-DOS on it while all the other computers have Windows 10. That's a great, great analogy.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, he was completely right about that. Like, that was something that he always did, and I always loved about, like, the original movies. It's like there was always a new ships in each movie, you know?
Well,
new technology and stuff like that. So, like, this is supposed to be like the scientific.
Hey, what do you call the movie trope that has a sequel to a film that took place previously, but they scaled it in real time? Like, the length of time that happens between the two movies is the same as it is in real life.
I don't know. But what I do know is
I don't really understand what you said.
I understand what he said, but look who joined.
Basically, they made the movie take place 30 years later, just like it is right now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I don't know what that's
called. I guess in context it makes sense because the Resistance has all this old shit, you know, to deal with, and maybe they just didn't have the funds.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, the First Order's got, like, they obviously have some new weapons.
I think it was funny that the Starkiller base was named after Luke Skywalker's original name.
Hmm.
He was supposed to be Luke Starkiller.
Starkiller is also the name of the character in the
Don't talk about that game ever.
Well, look,
Force Unleashed is garbage.
I'm gonna say a couple of things that may or may not be controversial to Star Wars fans. Maybe the Starkiller took all the First Order's funds. Like, that's what they put all their money into. So that can be an explanation for that. On the Rebel front, maybe they just didn't have any money. Like, you know, they weren't exactly Robin Hoods. Like,
they been fighting the First Order too? Maybe they didn't have time to prepare.
Mm.
I don't know, but they said at one point they're being funded by, like, the Republic. That would make me think, like, they've got fucking money. Like, they should have new technology.
Well, they don't have money now because
I know. Now the Republic's gone, yeah. So.
WWE Superstar.
I mean, the Republic has other planets under its control, but its capital's gone.
Yeah. WWE Superstar John Cena says, Han Solo is weak. I would have taken him out the whole First Order by himself. yes, we understand that, John Cena. I've seen you in a couple of movies. I've seen a little bit too much of you in a few movies, John Cena. So there you go. All right. What do you mean?
Like, he's like Buff Bagwell? He's done some porn? Is that what you're saying?
He's definitely buff in a couple of movies. Like
John Cena versus Chuck Norris. Who would win?
Dungeon Buster says, from what I understand, Resistance was funded by the Republic. Their job was to keep an eye on the Imperial hardliners, which they apparently did a shitty job.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Goddamn, Leia's got the Force. You think she would have maybe used it a little to her advantage?
I don't think Luke taught her. That's the problem.
Yeah, Leia has the Force, and so does fucking Luke Skywalker, and he's sitting there on a goddamn planet somewhere by himself.
Yeah, Luke, could have like taught your sister how to be a Jedi.
Yeah, how about
if it goes like it did in say the extended universe, she chose that path. She didn't want to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
Or at least learn how to use the Force so that she didn't misuse it accidentally and hurt someone.
She learned a little bit of using the Force, but for the most part, like, she didn't want to walk the path of the Jedi. She was walking the path
I wouldn't walk the path of the Jedi either. Jedi Knights have a shitty lifestyle.
John Cena says, post-war
Republic. Just want to learn how to use the Force.
Post-war Republic probably didn't have much money, brother, he says.
Right, this is 30 years later. Like, they should have money by now. You know, like it took less time between World War II and World War I, you know?
It's called J.J. Abrams not knowing how to write a good story.
MXT, I mean, John Cena says Star Wars sucks. I just hope
that the new director writers can actually help fill the caps that he left behind.
I don't think it's about writing. I think a lot of it was like, here, we have to have X-Wings and we have to have TIE Fighters or people are going to go into the movie and not understand what's going on.
Yeah, it was basically a safe space for people.
Yeah, I think so too.
Didn't they have a new ship?
For people who either haven't seen the film since the original trilogy or people who have seen the second trilogy and didn't want to see that again.
Yeah, Layla's got the Force, but I've got the five-knuckle shuffle, says John Cena. You can't see me, Kylo.
What the hell does masturbation have to do with anything, Cena?
Does five-knuckle shuffle have anything to do with Knuckles from Sonic?
SMT says Luke is angsting. And Cena says he is not MXT. Okay. All right. Now that we have that established. All right, quickly.
He's like 60 years old and then he's still angsting.
I know. He's like up there brooding and like angsting. And
yeah, I think they'll explain that a lot.
I think it's my fault that Kylo Ren's a jerkwad, but even though he had nothing to do with that because apparently he was fucked up already.
How much
he has the Force.
How much you guys?
Let me say one other thing too. Like they've been, as far as like the advertising, like heavily going with that that she's his daughter, but just the way like that they like to mess with us as far as this one, I don't think so. I think it's going to turn out differently now.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking going into the movie, but now like I don't know. I think we're going to go a different direction.
I don't think they're going to explain much about Luke's time on that planet because I think that's going to be left to comics and series and all kinds of shit. That's what I think. But all right, let's move on. MXT has joined the chat
after he killed John Cena, murdering bastard.
All right, guys, what have you been playing, Eric?
I've been playing, over the last 2 weeks, Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel. I put like 40 hours into that. I'm at like chapter 3, near the end of chapter 3, and there's like 6 chapters. So it's a long game. and then I played a little bit of Summon Knight 5, and hopefully might get an interview with the publisher of that game and the localization team, same thing, same group. Undertale, I played a little bit of that, got through the papyrus fight, and I'm on the next section of that game. I need to touch that over this weekend. And I played a little bit of SteamWorld Heist while I was at my parents' house on Christmas and Christmas Eve. And played a little bit of the PC version of Guilty Gear Xrd Sign. Right. Now, the netcode for that is not as good as the netcode for Arcana Heart 3 Love Max for the PC, which is, I think, using good Game Piece Out netcode.
Right.
So I wonder why they didn't just use that netcode.
All right, man. Anything else, Eric?
That's all I think I played. Yeah.
All right. Breakman.
No, I'm waiting. He always forgets one.
No, I'm done. That's all I really have playing.
Okay, right, let me see. I've been playing the usual of some Halo and Record Keeper, which they had a bunch of stuff going on through the holidays. Like here's a bunch of free stuff and here's some cool weapons and stuff like that, which was cool. But during the holidays, I just had to play some couple new games too.
Yeah. What'd you play?
I've been playing, One Child of Light, which, is a gorgeous looking game. It's done in this water, like pastel, like watercolor style. And it's really gorgeous and everything's spoken poetry, but it's text, you know. It'd probably be better if it was spoken, I think.
Right.
But it's an RPG, kind of a 2D side-scrolling thing that turns into turn-based combat. It's fun. It seems like it's kind of easy, though. I haven't really had any problems. The other game I've been playing is Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
What was the other game you played? It wasn't in your notes. You need to update notes. Oh,
I will. Child of Light. And the other one's Star Wars Battlefront.
There you go.
It's fun. It's gorgeous. It's what I wish the cartoons looked like, actually.
Yeah.
But it's kind of – it feels like kind of limited compared to like the original. Like there's just not as many options there. Yeah. Like this is strictly like Republic – this is strictly Alliance versus Empire. Like this is original trilogy and that's it.
Hmm. No new canon.
Whereas like the old ones had like – we had like the different race – like different people you could be. Like there were like – you could be clones. You could be droids, you could be like different factions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one's strictly like your rebels or your empire.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a lot of game modes. It's strictly an online game. It's fun. I'm playing it. There's something that kind of makes me think, though, that I'm kind of a little disappointed with this generation of games. Like, I wanted to see, like, more destruction.
Yeah, a little more action, you know.
No, I mean, like, more, like, realism and destruction. Like, if you watch, like, the original Star Wars, like, there's a scene where the stormtroopers are chasing down Han, and he's just firing with his regular blaster, and it's putting huge holes in the concrete and stuff like that. Like, I want to see more of that kind of thing.
Yeah, you got to be PG.
With this generation, but so far nothing like that. Yeah, which is a knock against the game. The game's fun. Mm. Just it seems kind of limited.
SMT says...
It seems like they're probably going to be adding more with their season pass and stuff like that.
Yeah. I hate the season pass bullshit.
Screw the season pass. That's one reason I'll never play Battlefront.
SMT says he's been playing Gundam Breaker 2, Yo-Kai Watch, Dark Souls, South Park Stick of Truth, and Arcana Heart 3 Love Max.
I love Stick of Truth.
Along with Battlegrounds. Yeah, Stick of Truth's a great game. Dungeon Buster says, check this out, guys. He's been playing Yakuza 5. He picked up Shantae and the Pirate's Curse on Steam. That's a great game. And he went a bit retro with Die Hard Arcade on the Saturn.
The funny thing about Die Hard Arcade is that it's actually a game called Dynamite Deca. And when they brought it to the US, they're like, oh, let's throw Die Hard in it and get a contract with Bruce Willis and put his face in the game and call it Die Hard. Because for whatever reason, Die Hard is still popular in 1997. I don't know. I think at that point, Die Hard was kind of faded into obscurity.
Not really, man.
And then they resurrected it like slightly before the third movie. Like after maybe the third movie came out. I don't know. I mean, it was around that time, but was it really that popular at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Die Hard is always popular. Like yeah. They're still making fucking movies of it.
Yeah. I heard they're coming out with...
Didn't get the sequel to Dynamite Deca, though, unfortunately.
Dungeon Buster says he also tried the Arslan demo. So, there you go.
What's that?
Arslan?
Yeah. What is that?
I think Arslan, the Warrior of Light or something like that. There's a game of it. It's based off of an anime. Yeah. And it's like... you got Dynasty Warriors, and then you've got Samurai Warriors, but then you've also got this anime property... And well, in addition to the pirate and the Zelda and the Dragon Quest stuff, you've got Arslan. If you want something that's like not cartoony, but also fantasy.
I've been playing much of the same. Yoshi's Woolly World. I'm getting a little further in that. MPQ, Marvel Puzzle Quest. I actually joined a different alliance, and it's good that I did, because the other alliance I was in never fucking played the game, so I never got any extras. This alliance is awesome. Almost everybody plays every day, so it's really cool. And a little bit of SingStar. That's about it for me. All right, let's move on, guys, quickly to our Stinkos. Eric, you have a Stinko.
Yeah. I found this today, today. Texas governor censors Bill of Rights and bears false claims against atheists. That's what I have written. But it says uses fake quotes and fraudulent history to claim atheists promote ignorance and falsehood, in quotes. This is from Patheos.com. It says, last week, the Freedom From Religion Foundation put up a Bill of Rights display in Texas State Capitol in Austin. We jumped through all the hoops we were granted permission to put up the display. That did not sit well with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who replaced Rick Perry, because Rick Perry decided to run for president and he bowed out, and usually when that happens they don't go back because they have to drop their position to do that. And they usually don't run for re-election though, so he's probably not going to be the governor again. But now we've got an even shittier one.
Yeah. Continue on, man. What's going on here?
Abbott wrote a letter to explain the removal. In it, he calls our Bill of Rights display tasteless, a spiritual message intentionally designed to belittle and offend, and then charges that it's far from promoting morals and the general welfare. He even likened the Bill of Rights display to a photograph of a crucifix immersed in a jar of urine. All that vitriol looking at these three founding fathers from the Statue of Liberty and the Bill of Rights, one wonders how much such disrespect for the Bill of Rights comports with Abbott's oath of office to uphold that sacred document.
It's really weird. I'm going to put it up in chat now. I read this
story. And I'm pretty sure the FFRF is suing him because that's defamation.
Well, it's not only defamation. Like, they went through all the hoops to get that picture up there.
I'm pretty sure you did something illegal.
I don't see anything offensive about this picture at all. Like,
you censored the Bill of Rights. That's like almost treason.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, it's just a picture of the Statue of Liberty. It's got Ben Franklin on one side. George Washington. I'm guessing that's what Madison or Jefferson looking at the Bill of Rights. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, I really don't understand it. But apparently, the governor of Texas is crazy. So there you go.
Apparently, he cited 17 lines of a George Washington quote, and then he completely made the whole thing up, so it's not actually a quote.
he didn't make it up. Here's the problem. Like, with
he took parts of it and rearranged it.
Yeah, well, he rearranged it, but the stuff that he's quoting didn't even come from George Washington, so I don't even know how he got away with saying all of that, but whatever. Long story short, there's going to be a big court battle over it, and, you know, it'll eventually get to the Supreme Court and hopefully overturned, and, you know, the governor could go fuck himself. That's about the gist of it. Right, Eric?
Texas being Texas again.
Texas being Texas, for sure. All right. Breakman.
Who are the people voting for these idiots?
I don't know, man. Breakman.
Texas is almost its own country at this point.
It almost is, man. It's
it technically can't succeed, so it's still a state. Yeah. I almost wish they would, though. I wish the U.S. would just ignore them if they seceded.
You know what Texas is to the United States? This is a good analogy. Texas is like the Quebec of the United States. Like, they're always like doing things their own way and wishing they could not be part of something bigger. Same thing with Quebec and Canada.
I'd rather just have Austin annexed and Austin become the next state.
Yeah.
Leave the union.
Like another Washington, D.C. It'd just be Austin. SMT.
Is Austin situated in a place in Texas where they could do that easily? Because if it's landlocked, then that's not possible.
SMT says, meanwhile, Mein Kampf is being re-released. Stories of a children. Oh, yeah. Stories of a children's version called Mein Kampf Chair are currently rumors. So there you go.
I want a Mein Kampf Chair.
I mean, technically that is progress for Germany, but it's also a cause for concern.
I'm guessing that has like big fluffy pillows and maybe like a cup holder and stuff. You know?
With a swastika cup holder, man, that'd be sweet.
Well, I don't need to go that far. I mean, jeez.
Oh, man. MXC says if Hitler had survived, he'd be
rich. Hitler publish Mein Kampf or what?
I think it was self-published by the...
Oh, you mean if Hitler hadn't killed himself like a little bitch is what you're saying?
There you go. All right. Let's move on, guys. Breakman.
Oh, mine goes to the non-indictment of...
No. MXC, it's being republished in Germany. It was banned.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Breakman.
What was I talking about again? Oh, Stinkos. Mine goes to the non-indictment of the police officers in the shooting of Tamir Rice.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it several times on the show.
I know. I mean, it's not surprising. It's just like they were there in less than 2 seconds. He got out of his car and shot a kid dead. And there's not even going to be a trial for this.
I don't understand it, Rake Man. I don't understand why policemen in this country are revered. I don't get it. I actually think that policemen are our enemies, not our friends.
I do have a free for all that might lend some credence to why people do this.
Why people shoot people? And
no, why people seem to be loft police officers as a good.
Enlighten me, Eric. Let's delve into it. We may as well.
Well, once we get to the free for all.
All right. Well, then we'll hold off for now. But yeah, that's a great stinko, Break Man. Like the non-indictment. But I think it's just commonplace now, right? Like it's not even news. Like we just have to be resigned to the fact that at any given moment we could be shot by a police officer. You know, I mean, that's just how it is in this country. It's just weird. Gripper's probably sitting there thinking like, yeah, we never have that problem here. And obviously you guys don't. I mean, it's weird. The police officers here are a lot different.
It's the way they're trained, and the training of police officers needs to change.
Not only training, but
because they are trained basically to use lethal force first and foremost.
They don't just need to train; they need to do background checks periodically.
Right, but cops need to be trained to de-escalate situations.
Yeah, I agree. Instead of like shoot first, ask questions later, it should be ask questions then shoot. You know, they need.
They need to be retrained. I think from top to bottom, probably the police force of the country needs to be retrained.
New training, background checks, and for heaven's sake,
psychological evaluations.
Absolutely, no question.
The shoot first or shoot like in 2 seconds. How can you?
You don't have time to do anything else
in 2 seconds. There's no. Like, stop, put your hands up or anything like that. Like, no. This is in 2 seconds. Freeze, I'm the police. We're the police. Put your hands up. Freeze.
Yeah. And then he's dead. Do you think they do evaluations every month? Because if these cops are supposedly going out in war zones, you think they'd be contracting PTSD and they need to have evaluations.
See, this illustrates my points, guys. Gripper's like, most cops are friendly in my experience. See, what I'm saying.
I've met friendly cops over here too, in the States. Like, I've met nice cops and good police officers.
Are good company most of the time.
No, Gripper lives in England, so of course, like, it's different. They train their police officers different there. I'm almost certain.
Also, I saw a tweet a while ago that it highlighted the difference between cop cars in the U.S. The U.S. ones are designed to be hidden, and then the ones in the U.K. are designed to be seen.
Yeah.
If cop cars around, you're probably not likely to engage in behavior that would get you in trouble.
I've talked about that several times too, Eric. I hate unmarked vehicles. I think they are worthless.
They're not unmarked. Pointless. They're just colored differently. They're bright so you could see them.
That's a great point, man. Every police car should be marked the same way so people
know.
They're
blue and yellow.
Absolutely. It should be that way here. But you know,
light blue and yellow, I think.
But now they have tanks. So there's that, you know.
And AK-47s and rocket launchers and.
I want a tank.
Yeah.
And if it were RoboCop, they'd probably have mechs.
Yeah. Probably.
I want a RoboCop too. I want my own RoboCop and my own tank.
Yeah. All right, let's move on, guys.
You don't want your own RoboCop and your own tank, Frank?
I do.
Did I get choppy? Oh, sorry.
It was terrible, by the way.
I do. I would love RoboCop. That would be awesome. I wish we could replace our cops with RoboCops. Even Ed-209s would be better, in my opinion, but whatever. All right. My stinko is this. Hold on. It's going to take a second here.
An audio?
What, you got a fart or something? You're building up the pressure?
I'm going to fart. There we go.
If you like to gamble, I'll tell you how you land. You will.
That, of course, is the voice of the great Lemmy Kilmister of the band Motorhead. Passed away this past week. Horrible news. An absolute rock and roll legend. May not have had the greatest voice in the world, but definitely influential to a ton of bands, including Metallica, Godsmack. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of people that have been influenced by Motorhead. Passed away.
That's really rough for them because they lost, like, their drummer in the same year.
Yeah. I mean, it just... It's devastating news. It's horrible. It's, you know, I mean, one of the first people to tweet out was Ozzy Osbourne, of course, the great Ozzy Osbourne.
I don't remember listening to much Motorhead.
Motorhead's awesome, man. They're really good. I mean, let's take a quick listen here. Ace of Spades, a great song. You know, really prolific writer. Lemmy doesn't get a lot of credit for his writing prowess, but he definitely wrote a lot of great songs for Ozzy. Hellraiser comes to mind as a great song.
He's apparently really super nerd, too.
Yeah, super smart, very intelligent. Just a great...
No, I mean guy. Like geek nerd stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know about the intelligence thing.
Yeah, definitely. SMT says Ozzy is somehow still alive. Yeah, he's hanging on by a thread.
Dude, he's the devil. You haven't figured that out.
I thought I was the devil. People.
No, you're friends with him. That's different.
There you go. Yeah, it's different.
No, you're the elder god. That's how old Frank is.
Oh, shit. You sons of bitches. My other stinko goes to New Year's idiot drivers. I worked last night and holy shit, when I was driving into work about four in the afternoon here, there were people driving weird, like they were drunk at 4 o'clock. I'm like, Jesus Christ, save some for New Year's, guys. Damn. But definitely hazardous driving yesterday all the way around. Sucked. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, like New Year's Day and New Year's Eve are like two of the most heavy traffic accident days. Yeah, like a lot of people die on these days.
Yeah, it sucks. Sad. Yeah, it's very sad. It always happens, you know, it's always. But let's move on to some uplifting stuff, some sweetos. Breakman, let's start with you.
It was a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday. That's enough, right? That was good.
Yeah, that's definitely enough. Awesome. Eric, did you have a sweeto this week?
Yeah, I had two.
All right.
FDA, this is from NPR.org, FDA lifts ban on blood donations by gay and bisexual men. Yeah. Now, we talked about how this was done in France, but it's being done in the U.S. But the Food and Drug Administration is relaxing a 32-year-old ban on blood donations from gay and bisexual men. The FDA announced Monday that it was replacing a lifetime prohibition with a new policy that will allow gay and bisexual men to donate blood only if they had not had sexual contact with another man for at least 1 year.
Oh my god, how
stupid. It's still fucked up, but it's better, I guess.
It's getting weird. Like they always – like I was
it's
given
like, – what's the correlation between – gay people and then having sex and HIV? There is none. Well, you can still get HIV with straight people.
Well, that's what it. Well,
so why aren't they screening everybody?
Yeah, there's a lot
of misconceptions
with gay people. Then why are women excluded from this?
What were you saying, Brake? You were saying
there's a lot of misconceptions on HIV. Like lesbians can get HIV.
This isn't even a misconception though. It's like you've got the science in front of you, but you're ignoring it.
I'm just saying women can get and give HIV. Mm-hmm. And there's a misconception that women can't like spread it. It's just men that spread it. That's not true.
That's patently false for sure.
It's transmitted by blood transfusions and stuff like that too.
It's just really weird.
If blood's contaminated, you infect someone. That's how it works.
Okay.
Or saliva, you know.
this is definitely a plus. It's a sweeto for sure that ban has been lifted. It all does stem from the 80s, like, you know, the whole HIV.
Why did it take him this long, though?
I you know what? That's
a good question. Why is it only a half measure?
Progress is slow, man. That's how it always is. There's always red tape and bullshit, you know, so.
Look, don't ask, don't tell. Just finally got, like, taken out this year.
Right.
Like, right. Progress takes a long
time. Women were able to join the front line in 2011. That's how long that took.
Mm. All right, Eric, what's your other sweeto?
My other sweeto is – I'll post a link in chat for this one first. Hold on. But the other one is from the Washington Post. It says, Muslims protect Christians from extremist in Kenya bus attack. There's a sound of gunfire and the impact of bullets striking steel, and the bus suddenly lurched to a stop just outside northeastern Kenyan city of Elwak. Says more than 10 Somalian militants clambered on board, heavily armed. Witnesses of the mining attack told the Daily Nation. Says the gunmen began shooting and shouting demands at all the passengers, ordering them to get off the bus and separate into groups. But the Muslims aboard the bus traveling through the northeastern Kenya helped protect the Christian passengers, and says two people died and at least three were injured during the attack on the bus and a truck. And says, according to Mandera County Governor Ali Roba, and so I guess some of these people took a bullet for Christians.
Wow. I guess this isn't surprising to me, guys, because I truly feel that people are good and would try to do the right things and do heroic things despite religion, not in spite of religion or you know what I'm trying to say. I think people are good in general, and nobody wants anybody else to get hurt really, truly. You know?
See, I could do good articles of religious people doing good things and not always slamming them. Yeah. It's just that they're hard to find because there's so few instances of that actually happening.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this to everybody's attention, Eric, for sure. Like, it you know, there is good in the world, even when it comes to religion. You know, now, if you were to ask me if those were atheists on the bus, if they would have done that, then that might have been a different story. But, you know, we'll give them credit where credit is due. You know, a bunch of Christians got saved because some Muslims stepped up, and that's something to hold on to in the Muslim world for sure, because they've been under a lot of scrutiny for a lot of various things that have happened in this country and around the world. So there you go. What's the population of Muslims? Isn't it like 4 billion or something? It's like 2 billion. I can't remember.
It's not 4 billion, but it's billions.
It's like 2 billion, I think. I think the number is 2 billion, but still, I mean, that's, you know, that's good news. That's great. All right, Eric, anything else?
Those are my only sweetos.
Yep. I got a couple of quick ones. Broncos victory, of course. That was so awesome. And then
Frank.
What?
Did you ever know you were the wind beneath my wings?
Jeez.
Oh, man. That's awesome, man.
Did you ever know you're everything I want, wish I could be?
I am going to definitely use these sound bites, Break. So keep it up, man. That's awesome, man. I'm going to have to go through and pick out some good sound bites. And also, for Christmas, you spoke about Christmas earlier, Break, man. I got an awesome one of those Funko bobblehead, like supersized bobblehead things, but it was a Thanos figure that Wiffix had got me. So
I don't really care for the Funko things.
Oh, man, they're so cool, man. And this one in particular is really cool. It's just a big, oversized bobblehead, and it's awesome. It's Thanos. My favorite comic book character of all time. So there you go. All right, let's do a little let's do a little free for all. We were talking about Star Wars. Was there anything else on the Star Wars front, Break, that you wanted to talk about?
I don't know if we want to talk about like the George Lucas thing, like him calling them white slavers or something.
I do want to talk about that. Let's talk about that because, okay, a little bit of background. George Lucas is married to a black woman, right? I mean, he's been married to his wife for quite some time now. And he made some really weird comments. Breakman, take it away.
Well, he compared Disney to white slavers in their deal with basically what happened was he sold Star Wars to Disney, which everybody knows for like billions of dollars. As if the man wasn't rich as it was. Now he is in like probably the 1% of the 1%, but whatever. Part of the agreement of him selling it was that they would listen to any of his suggestions that he could still make, like he could still come in and say, hey, I got this idea for Star Wars. Well, he had an entire script for what he wanted The Force Awakens to be, and he took it to Disney, and Disney was like, no, we're going to go our own way. So George Lucas has really been bitter about that. Like, he has been completely written out of Star Wars in every way now.
I don't know if I trust the script written by him anyway.
I think that's a damn shame. I mean, still, like, he should be contributing to it. He is still – when The Clone Wars was on, he was an active participant in it, and I still think it is one of the greatest cartoons ever made. And he participated in it. He was involved in the writing process of it. So he does get a lot of hate, but I think he should get some respect.
I mean, the good thing about him being there is that he could prevent it from being fucked up too badly, at least.
Well, I didn't think they
fucked it up. So anyway,
won him, you know, directing a movie.
Yeah, no
way. So they've gone – so Disney's gone their own way, and basically they've shut him out completely of Star Wars. And he's obviously bitter about it, and he compared them to white slavers.
Yeah, he's since apologized for it. Yeah. But the problem that I find with this whole story is if George Lucas had to know the minute that he sold Star Wars that it was out of his control. It wasn't his. Right? Like, there was like, if I buy something from somebody – that person has no right to tell me what to do with that product.
Right? It'd be one thing, my opinion on it would be one thing if they sold to him for like $1 million, but he sold for billions of dollars. Like, at that point, like, dude, you just got to step away.
Yeah. I agree, man. Like, 100%. Now, he could have criticized it. He could have said, look, this isn't the script that I gave them in my script.
And we did mention that. Like, he mentioned, like, the how all the vehicles were older and stuff like that instead of bringing, like, new innovations to the movies, which I definitely agree with him on. Like, this is 30 years in a movie – in a science fiction movie. We're in the first movie.
What I won't agree with him with is what he did with episode 1 and 3 through 3 and all the flashy lightsaber fighting.
Well, I thought Abrams did a good job. I know, Eric, you might disagree. I thought
– Yeah, I liked it. I liked the movie. I thought he did a really good job.
He didn't do a good job.
I thought he did a good job. I thought he brought the old generation plus the new generation into this one film. Now – going forward, there's going to be some different ideas. There's going to be some different story elements. Yeah, different
directors.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be different directors for sure. I mean, if you remember, I mean, I think I'm not controversial in saying this, but
did Abrams write the script for The Force Awakens, or did he just direct?
No, I don't think he did. But check this out. I think the next movie is going to just blow everybody away. I mean, I think it's going to be awesome. Much in the same way with episodes 4, 5, and 6. 5, in my opinion, was the greatest installment of Star Wars by far. Like, it's not even close in my mind. There's nobody that could tell me that any other of the Star Wars movies lived up to 5. And 5 was not directed by George Lucas. Wasn't it Kirshner that directed 5? So, you know, I mean, there's going to be different ideas, and I honestly think the next Star Wars movie is going to be better, you know, and it's going to address a lot of the issues.
I think Return of the Jedi might have been much better if it didn't have the Ewoks in it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Ewoks have their place. Have their place.
You like the Ewoks?
Well, it did. Look, the way that they portrayed them in Return of the Jedi was not the greatest.
I don't have a problem with the Ewoks existing. It's just it's obvious that they were trying to aim the movie at kids and sell merchandise.
Well, of course, man.
They weren't originally supposed to be Ewoks. They were originally supposed to be Wookiees. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, but they decided to make the Wookiees extinct. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the next movie is going to be the best of the bunch of this next trilogy. And
was this supposed to be like a planet where there were surprise Wookiees here for whatever reason?
Yeah. SMT says The Empire Strikes Back is a masterpiece, and I happen to agree with that. I think it's far and away better than New Hope. The direction was way better. The action was better. The tech was better. Everything about Empire Strikes Back was just awesome. And, you know, they got away with that with Phantom Menace and the other two shitty ones. But 3 was okay. I can't say 3 was the worst. It was, you know, serviceable. It had some Frankenstein elements that I thought were pretty awesome. But
I think the Wookiees are better fighters than the Gungans, by the way.
He says, at least it isn't the Star Wars holiday special. His dad saw it when it aired.
Life debt.
I don't know.
I have no recollection of that. I've blocked any recollection possible that could be in my head of that ever existing.
The holiday special, yeah. No, there's good to come, for sure. I disagree with George Lucas completely when he says that Disney's a bunch of white slavers and all that type of shit.
Why do they treat their employees like garbage or something?
No, he just made some off-the-wall stupid comments. I think it was just sour grapes after he left Star Wars. In
like I said, like he sold it. Like Dungeon Buster said, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah, I know.
You've sold it for billions of dollars, dude. Like it's not yours anymore. You don't have any control in it.
Yeah,
if you don't like the way it changes, like just say like I don't like this. Like
you
this
know,
is,
it's but, it's funny, yeah. Breakman. You made the comment of like he's 1% of the 1%. He really is. Like there's few people in the world that are richer than George Lucas right now. You know, I mean, there's probably what 100 people or less that are richer than George Lucas, and it's a shame that he had to say something like that because, you know, there's nothing slavish about his lifestyle. So
I think
it's just outlandish. You know, I think it just goes with him being married to a black person, and you know, I don't know what goes on in Lucas's mind, but I definitely think he's wrong on all fronts. And like everybody's saying in chat, you know, just sour grapes. And if he didn't like it, he shouldn't have sold it. You know, I mean, that's just sour grapes in my view. I do think Disney and him should get together, and he should have some sort of consulting role.
I have to ask you, what's worse, Star Wars Connect or the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Holiday Special, that by far. Yeah, it's like legendarily bad, man. It's just horrible. Dungeon Buster said he managed.
Maybe we can make a Would You Rather based on that choice.
Oh my God! That
no,
dude.
No, don't give him ideas.
Yeah, don't
no
give
Freak Five. You didn't hear a word of that.
Don't give Freak Five any ideas, man. Dungeon Buster says he managed to see it on YouTube, and he wished he hadn't. Yeah, I totally agree, man.
I couldn't stomach more than 3 minutes of that crap.
Oh my God, it's so bad. It's like legendarily bad. So bad. all right, guys, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. I hope everybody
starts off with a bunch of cosplaying people in Wookiee outfits and very terrible ones at that. And then it goes into a shitty cartoon.
So bad. Thanks to everybody who was listening out there. Have a good new year today and, you know, across the world, wherever you're listening. We obviously appreciate every listen that we get, which is like, what, 2? but anyways, you know, it's been a great year. A lot of fun, cool games. By the way, my game of the year last year was Marvel Puzzle Quest, in case anybody hasn't
didn't do game of the year this
year.
Yeah,
we didn't. Yeah. But that's
maybe definitely next week.
Yeah, maybe we can.
I'll have more time to play 2015's games.
Yeah,
I enjoyed a lot of what I played in 2015, but most of it didn't come out in 2015.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem, man. I'm so backlogged. But Breakman, plugs, please.
You can follow at @break_man. SMT says Leia is high.
Yeah, in the special. She's high, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, then there's that whole, like, body shaming issue going on with her right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shut up, people. Like, people age, you know?
If you don't like the way somebody aged, fuck, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah, see, not about you.
I get better with age, so I don't have that issue, you know, so.
I thought immortals didn't age.
Yeah, well, you know, in years, not, I mean, in mind, not years, you know, so. All right, continue the break.
Follow Mrs. Break underscore man, and I guess follow at Moria Mug, even though he didn't like us anymore. And at Stealth and underscores, and who doesn't like us either.
Yeah. Anything else, Break?
No, I'm kind of disheartened now. Yeah, let's move on.
All right. Eric, your plugs.
You can find me on Twitter at EricRPG, and you can find reviews I've written on various websites like Boston Bash Brigade, GameTactics.com, TotalEGN.com, VogNetwork.com, and I've got one review of a Neptunia game on AusGamers.com.
All right. Anything else, Eric?
I'm going to hopefully update my blog with a review roundup because I've been neglecting it. But there'll probably be some other stuff on there in the future when I get the time.
All right.
But there'll be an update. All right. But I do plan on doing a Let's Play of Super Metroid.
Awesome. I love
Super I don't know if it'll be tomorrow or Sunday or sometime next week, but I'm going to try to get it working. I spent the first 30 minutes of the game trying to do the mockball, and it's a lot harder to do on a TV when you have the wireless controller that has lag, input lag, and you have to compensate for the lag. So it took me a while to figure out the timing for that.
Yeah.
That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. All right.
And in case anybody doesn't know, the mockball is basically called such because the idea is that you're exploiting programming in the game so that you can trick the game into thinking that you're running at the speed you are when you're running across the screen while in a morph ball.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Eric?
And you do this to get the super missiles early, so you can skip Spore Spawn. Because Spore Spawn fight takes too long. Because it's retarded.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all.
All right. I want to thank all the chatters. Dungeon Buster, Gripper, SMT, MXT... who else? Freak 5 was in
there. Oh, wait, I didn't even tell you what my YouTube channel is. Yeah, Funny T-Man.
Funny T-Man, all right. The chatters, we've had a great year. We really appreciate it. We're looking forward to another stellar year in 2016 for RP Grinders. We're going to have guests. We're going to have just all kinds of shenanigans are going on.
Yeah, suck on that 2015.
Yeah. 2015 was a good year for Grinders.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
But... you know, we're going to make it even better this year, I think. You know, that's the hope. But to the live chatters, for sure. You guys have been there from day one. You know, Dungeon Buster and Gripper, for sure. MXT's been there for a bit. Freak Pie's been there for a bit. Welcome on in, SMT. We appreciate you joining this week. It's awesome to see new people all the time. So if you have friends, family, acquaintances that are into RPGs and skeptical topics, send them our way, especially during the live show. We like to have live, you know, lively chats, so appreciate that. Let's see. You can follow me at Frank Branches. You can follow my wife, who's an awesome follow on Twitter, at Real Whippix. She is the host of a show called Werewithal that I am a co-host on. A show about werewolves. So if you like occult and werewolves and scary movies and shit like that, make sure you check out Werewithal, all one word, on iTunes, Stitcher, etc., etc. And that's about it. Stay safe, everybody, this weekend. We want to see you back here next week in the second show of 2016. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Until next week, we are out. Bye. We'll be right back.